If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Sheldon, welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening. Jeez, what a sad week it has been.
Yeah,
for many who love this woman. My goodness.
Yeah. And actually, even today, there was a breaking news that Gene Hackman passed away as well, the famous actor. And
His wife and his dog.
In the same...
So bizarre.
Yeah, all in one shot.
And then nobody...
In New
Mexico. And nobody thinks it's foul play.
Yeah, so it could be suicide,
For me, it's very bizarre.
Yeah,
I don't know. If we had said something like a suspected gas leak or something, or like, but when they call it so quickly, I thought I thought the authorities were too quick to say no foul play. I thought that was weird.
All three of them.
All at the same time.
Time.
And the dog, I think that was weird.
He was 97, she was 62.
I think 80. Was she 62?
Yeah, she was 62 and he was 80.
Yeah, so
90.
That's a little bizarre.
Yeah. But
why do you think they called it so quickly?
I don't know. Well, obviously there was no indication of a break-in or whatever.
You can investigate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it is New Mexico, so maybe their systems are different.
Okay.
But anyway, so Roberta Flack passed away earlier this week, and such an iconic vocalist, and actually doing research about her, I was always the biggest fan. And I remember when I bought my first Roberta Flack album and I was walking through Sandton City and my friends were like, "What's in the bag?" And I'm like, you wouldn't know her. And then they were like, "No, show us." You know, like in the 90s, people were so curious about what was in your CD warehouse bag, the little green bag. And then I showed my friends and they were like, "Who's Roberta Flack?" And I was like,
it's okay, don't worry about it.
And doing research on her, I sort of gathered, and I always like wondered, like, why was she so different? I mean, the other big divas, I mean, she was 1970s diva, but the other big divas, Dionne Warwick, Gladys Knight, Aretha Franklin, Patti LaBelle, I mean, they were all like these power female vocalists, like super powerful vocalists. And I think the secret to the Roberta Flack story is that she was almost like an R&B folk singer. Mm. Like if you listen to the music, it was like a hybrid of folk music, like very simple, bare musical arrangements with this like very pure voice. So usually with folk, the whole thing about the arrangement of the music, the selection of the instrumentation, etc., is that it needs to be about the focus of the voice and the message. And you can, like, the first time ever I saw your face, you can hear that in the singing. And she's got such an interesting story. So she passed away at the age of 88 and she died of a cardiac arrest, but her family was very musical. Her dad was a U.S. veteran, a draftsman, and the mother was a high school cook and a church organist, and she was brought up in a very musical family, very church Baptist-orientated family. And she picked up playing the piano at the age of 9, and by the time she was 13, she entered into a statewide competition where she won a full scholarship. It was for black children. And she won a full scholarship to Howard University at the age of 13. And Howard University is traditionally a black university, but a very, very prestigious black university in the United States. And she got this full scholarship to go to Howard, and she joined the university at the age of 15. She was the youngest person ever to be included at the university. She studied music there. Her scholarship was for music. And by the time she was 19, she graduated with her first degree. So she was a bit of a child prodigy. Anyway, when she finished, she started doing her postgraduate studies. And then her dad passed away and she was forced to start working. And she started working as an English and music teacher at a segregated school in North Carolina, where she was from. In North Carolina. And she was teaching English there, eventually moved to Washington, and then carried on teaching music in Washington at a school. But then as a side hustle, she was teaching some piano classes because that was her main instrument, and then also performing at night at clubs. And eventually what happened was she was performing at a nightclub, and her vocal coach said, you should actually be doing pop music, because she was doing a lot of classical music. She was accompanying opera singers. And he said, you've actually got something very special. You should go into singing pop music. So she changed her repertoire. And at a jazz club, this guy called Les McCann heard her. And he was like, he was a famous jazz pianist. And he said, I'm going to help you get a record deal. And she got a record deal through Atlantic Records, which was headed up by Ahmet Ertegun, who's the guy who started the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he was the head of Atlantic Records. And she did a 10-hour audition for him. She performed 42 songs in that audition. And they decided that they would sign her to a deal. They recorded her first album in 10 hours. So usually in those days, it would be months of recording. They recorded her first album in 10 hours. It was done. And her first big song, like her breakthrough song, was First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. She had released a few songs before then, but this was the big breakthrough song for her. She was Atlantic.
Can you imagine? I mean, going so big with a song, I mean, which is your first big song.
Yeah.
Immediately, it's so telling to the fact that her talent was always just so superior.
Exactly. But she'd sort of been relegating in like the dust for the longest time at Atlantic Records. And she actually recorded the song in 1969.
Sure.
And it only broke in 1972. And so what happened was Clint Eastwood was doing his first... He was doing his directorial debut, a movie called Play Misty for Me. And he needed a song for the movie. And he heard this song. And he was like, this is the song that I want for the movie. And he included it in the movie, and it just blew up. It went to number one. It was a massive hit for her. And she landed up winning the Grammy Award for Song of the Year and Record of the Year for this song. And when she originally recorded the song, her producer said to her, this song's too slow. We need to do it faster. And then she said, no, this is how I'm doing the song. I'm doing the song at this pace. That's what I want to do.
Sure.
And he said, oh, so I guess you don't want a hit. So she said, this is what I want. And for about 3 years, the producer was right. The song was not a hit. And then all of a sudden, it became the biggest hit. But this song was actually, it was originally a folk song. Mm. And if you listen to the original, it sounds nothing like this. It is a really, really bad folk song. Like I was listening to the original because I heard it was written by this Brit guy called Ewan McColl for his for a singer that he was working with called Peggy Seeger. And they eventually got married to each other. And she started performing it in the clubs and whatever, in the folk clubs. And it came to the attention of Roberta Flack. And she decided, I'm going to record the song.
My way.
But I'm going to do it my way. And when she heard the song, she immediately, because she was such a prodigy musician, she started rewriting the song.
Yeah, the arrangement.
Rearranging the whole song. And then she recorded it. And this just blew up. She didn't hear the original Peggy Seeger song. She heard a version by Joe and Eddie. But the song had originally been written in 1957. So this was still a long time from where the original came from. And that was the story.
2025.
Yeah.
You listen to that song and you still get goosebumps.
And so many people have covered it. Like Celine Dion covered it. George Michael covered it. And they all, when they cover it, they cover the...
Aretha's.
This is the Roberta Flack version. And the previous song that we played was Killing Me Softly. So that song is considered one of the all-time greats. It was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. It is considered by Rolling Stone one of the top 500 songs of all time. Anyway, the song was another number one hit for her. Spent 5 weeks at number one. It was the longest running number one of 1974. And it was composed by Charles Fox and Norman Gimbel and a woman called Laurie Liebman. And Laurie Liebman was another folk singer. So that was originally also a folk song. and it won the Record of the Year and Best Female Vocal Performance. And then when the Fugees did it, it went to number one again, and it was and it won the Best R&B Pop R&B Performance by a Duo or Group in the year that it was released. So this when Roberta Flack heard the song, she was on an airplane, and she heard this song, and she immediately started rewriting the song as well. And when she landed, she phoned Quincy Jones and she said to him, I need to be connected to this Charles Fox guy because I need the music for this song. Anyway, they were connected. She got the song and she started rehearsing the song, song and doing some preliminary recording at Tuff Gong Records in Jamaica. And they recorded the song eventually, and her producers were like, this song's going to be a hit. Mm. When Lori Liebman wrote the song, she was inspired by another famous musician called Don McLean. Mm. She had heard him performing at a club in 1971, and she was so inspired by Don McLean that she started writing the song Killing Me Softly. And the song sort of relegated in the background for the longest time, and then Roberta Flack took it and redid it, and it was a massive hit. And the first time she ever performed it was at the Greek Theatre in Los Angeles, where she was opening for Quincy Jones. And Quincy Jones said to her, you need to perform the song to the audience. And when she performed it to the audience, the audience went wild.
Wow. What a lovely sing-along, huh?
Beautiful. And two beautiful songs by this iconic female vocalist. And the amazing thing about Roberta Flack is that she carried on recording almost right to the end. Her last album was 2012, but she recorded 19 albums altogether. So it was like a full body of work.
We've got Ntata Selby on the line. Hello, Ntata Selby. Ntata Selby, can you hear us? Okay, I don't know what's happened. Ntata Selby, are you there? Okay, we'll
maximum record.
In a minute, but let's continue with the music you wanted to say.
Just this full body of work. I mean, and once again, in those two songs, I mean, the one had more of a disco flavor, the other one was more like a traditional pop 1980s kind of vibe, but still a very iconic R&B sound, but you can definitely hear like that folk influence in her music. And I think she as someone who came from a classical music background and someone who was classically trained and a degreed individual, formally trained musician, you can hear that she although she dabbled in the pop thing, it wasn't like she wasn't fully immersed in it.
Yes.
You know, it was there, but it was a heightened level of production and music.
Yes.
And as you were saying in the break, that
The ability to arrange
the music, and you can hear like the more sophisticated approach to the production and the music. And actually, she eventually became a producer herself.
Yeah.
So she was producing her own music, which is something that Aretha Franklin wasn't doing that, and neither was Patti LaBelle. But that was the one thing that differentiated her from those other female vocalists.
Let's try and see if we can get Ntata Selby back on. Hello, Ntata Selby.
Hi, Pamelo, and my musician, Kuru. How are you there?
We're good. How are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was jumping up and down when you...
Tell us
when
more,
talk
that
about Roberta Flack. Hey, I love that woman. I love that woman's music. My most favorite song is the one that says, you don't know what it's like to love somebody. Yeah.
Guess what, Ntazel? I'm going to play that for you.
I'm going to be very much glad. Hey, I love that woman. All her songs, I love them.
Oh,
but that one is the number one. Then the number two.
Yeah.
It's Sunday morning.
You're in for a treat. Thank you, Ntata Selby.
Thank you.
So if at this point you've not been touched,
no,
there's no hope for you.
No. And you know that original the original version of that song is by the Bee Gees. Mm. The Bee Gees did the original version, To Love Somebody. Yeah. To Love Somebody. To Love Somebody. That is a whole other thing.
This, my brother.
Can I just say, I've never heard that in my life. Oh. And I heard that for the first time now. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, the gospel, you can hear the the origins of Roberta Flack right there, because the church is right there in
she
that
took
song.
It, she took
the
it
arrangement
there.
Is completely different from the original. And that was obviously the secret of Roberta Flack, was that she could flip it around. But once again, Beyonce could learn from her. It's like...
I.
You don't need...
You didn't have to go there.
You don't need to over-embellish everything to make it spicy. Just because you've thrown a whole lot of ingredients into a recipe doesn't make it gourmet. And there you can hear Roberta Flack. She just kept it simple, beautiful, interesting arrangement, and it didn't need a lot of spice. And it's just as gourmet.
Sheldon! Let's take a listen to a voice note.
Oh, thank you, Ospimelo. Mm. Thank you to your guests. Oasis, No One Plays That Song is the best. I was introduced to this song by my sister Brenda Mukwena. She's a music icon. And my sister knows the music, Burundi Crawford and all. Oh, I'm so glad that I knew her music. Oh, what a great, great artist.
My Oasis. Yo, Ospimelo, Pina Ena, it reminds me of Sunday lunch with my parents. Yeah. May their souls rest in peace.
Yeah.
And Shem, may Roberta also rest in peace. So, thank you. Thank you for paying tribute to her.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, a well-deserved tribute, because, I mean, I think she was a very understated and under-recognized artist. And the music is just so, so beautiful. I think the next song that we're going to do is actually quite an iconic song. So Roberta Flack had a very close musical relationship, not romantic relationship, with a guy called Donny Hathaway.
Yeah.
And actually, he sang backing vocals on Killing Me Softly. And she'd done some of Donny Hathaway's songs before, and eventually they landed up doing two duet albums together. And this song was from from her album called Blue Lights in the Basement. Mm. It wasn't a duet album. Anyway, she hadn't spoken to Donny Hathaway for 5 years. They'd called off their relationship, their musical partnership, because Donny was struggling with mental health problems. He was schizophrenic. He was a paranoid schizophrenic. And he had mood swings and depression. It was just a mess.
Mm.
And as a result thereof, she just couldn't work with him because it was just too volatile. Eventually, in 1978, in 1972, they did their last collaboration, and then 1978 she decided to reach out to him. Ahmet Ertegun, the head of Atlantic Records, said, you know, they should maybe do a collaboration together. Anyway, they decided to do The Closer I Get to You.
Mm.
And but Donny Hathaway was so ill at the time, like mental health illness, that he couldn't travel to New York where she was living at the time. And so he was in Chicago. So Roberta Flack was forced to do a demo recording of the song, The Closer I Get to You, with a session vocalist. And then the demo was sent to Chicago, where Donny Hathaway then laid his vocal on the track. And in 1979, he committed suicide. And that was the end of him. And Roberta Flack was devastated. She said there was nothing she could do. She couldn't reach out to him. There was nothing she could do for him, and she felt so bad. And so what she did was, all the proceeds of The Closer I Get to You, she donated to Donny Hathaway's wife and child, because she was like, they need to be taken care of. And this song became such a massive hit.
Mm.
And she was like, all the money just needs to go to them so that they can be taken care of. And she donated all the money to them.
Wow. Wow. What a sad way to, you know, to now that we know that story.
Yeah.
Very
sad.
Very sad.
I mean, and he was such a monster talent. And the reason why they worked together was because they were both signed to Atlantic Records. Aretha Franklin was also signed to Atlantic Records. And they thought if they could put Donny Hathaway with Roberta Flack, then he could rub off some of his shine on her because he was more popular than she was at that time.
Mm.
And it really worked for her, and she became really a massive artist because actually I introduced the wrong song. We started off with Feel Like Making Love and then moved on to The Closer I Get to You. And Feel Like Making Love was released in 1974. It was a number one hit record, went to number one for 5 weeks. And Roberta Flack at that point became the first woman since 1940 to have three consecutive number ones in three different years.
Mm.
So she broke that record. And the first time I actually ever heard Feel Like Making Love was D'Angelo on his Voodoo album, which I consider to be such an iconic album. I love Voodoo. Is one of my all-time favorite albums. Mm. It's a legendary album, and he does a cover version of Feel Like Making Love in which he released in 2000. Yeah. And I just love it so much. And that was her first song after her contract terminated with Atlantic Records. They re-signed her, and at the time it was the most lucrative deal for a female artist in history.
Wow.
And with that voice, I mean, with that sound, which is like such a simple, basic sound, and people just loved it, and people still love it. And then I found another interesting fact about her. So she died in New York, and in the 1970s and 80s, she lived in the Dakota Building.
Mm.
And I don't know if you know the Dakota Building, but it's an iconic building in New York where so many famous people have lived. And actually, the body corporate in the building does not allow people to just, if you want to buy an apartment, you have to apply and get approved.
You're recommended.
Exactly. Okay. And she lived in the apartment right next to John Lennon and Yoko Ono. Mm. And Sean Lennon, Yoko Ono's son, used to call her Auntie Roberta. So they had this very close relationship, all of them. But we're going to end the show with two songs. Where Is the Love? Which was another duet with Donny Hathaway, and that was one of their first duets. And that song went to number five in the United States, and it was from an album, their first duets album, called Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway. They did two albums together. The other one came out posthumously after Donny Hathaway passed away. Anyway, the other song is Only Heaven Can Wait, and what I love about the message of the song, so this is with another one of her regular collaborators, Peebo Bryson.
Mm.
They also did two albums together.
Mm.
And what I love about this song is, in the song she says, heaven's too late.
Mm.
You've got to enjoy your life now.
Mm.
You can't wait for heaven.
Mm.
Today is the day. And that's what that song's all about.
Well, enjoy, everybody, and have yourselves a fantastic weekend.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.